Thank you. I'm humbled to be here. It's been about 6 years since I've been up this way. My name's Steve. I'm an alcoholic. I was lucky enough to, stumble into a Big Book Step Study meeting by accident in Attleboro, and that's how I got accustomed to this way. And I was able to, carry it through. I'm going to stick with the step tonight, though, and tonight I'm going to try to talk about spiritual principles. And I'm going to talk about how I work with alcoholics and how I sponsor and how some of the experiences that have enabled me to change my family life around, which was in pretty bad shape when I was an alcoholic. But first and foremost, I've got to talk about the reason why I'm here. And the reason why I'm here is because in the third step, I developed a spiritual belief. In the fourth and fifth steps, I started to have spiritual experiences. Now, you know, 1 + 1 = 2. So spiritual belief plus spiritual experiences, numerous ones, all of a sudden equals spiritual principles. And because of that type of, process, we call it, I was able to develop spiritual principles. And for that, I'm forever grateful. You know, as a youth fighting, in the Cold War, all of us crazy guys, we all had a cause, and we're all moving towards one objective, which is, victory and superpowership. But the hottest battle I ever fought was the battle that I had with myself. And fortunately, I was able to, have that battle in these halls. And that was the battle with myself, my own mind. So I have a profound respect for everybody that's here. I have a profound respect for people who are sponsors, and I just have a profound respect now for everybody that decides to take a look at themselves, because for me, that was the hottest thing in my life. So, kicking it off, I read this part about the Good Samaritan, and I was very taken back about it, because I had asked my sponsor, hey, what do I have to do? Once I did the fifth step and started doing, four or five amends, we got into this. And it was quite an eye-opener. A good Samaritan, let me give you an example, would be having a sponsee call you up from prison. And he's doing a 2.5-year stint, and he wants to do the fourth step. So in some of the prisons, it's very difficult to see these guys. So I made a commitment to go twice a month to go see him. And it was behind the plastic glass, and it's very difficult. He has to sneak all his writing material in and share it with me through the thing. A good Samaritan does that, and that's what I decided to do. And unbeknownst to me, when he did get out, it wasn't a month later that he relapsed, and I've never seen him again. So you say to yourself, that's what a good Samaritan does no matter what. And I never would have done that for anybody. I wouldn't have had that unconditional commitment unless I had done this process. And that's what this process has got me to. So the good Samaritan. One of the other things, too, is that having this process at this stage in the second half of 12, we're starting to get to see the sponsee a little bit more. And whenever I see a new sponsee, the hearing of what he says, and a lot of the stuff is off the wall. I hear some crazy stuff, but one of the best thing it does is it reminds me of where I was. That is quite a feat, because part of my problem was the fact that I would always forget. I'd go out, having graduated from the Mass Maritime School of Drinking, I would go out into these crazy things and do crazy stuff. And then, 3 or 4 days later, I'd forget that I did that and go out and do it again. So being reminded, going to these meetings, sponsoring people, hearing these guys, it's very, very important to me. Now, in this, there's a lot of, it's not all cookie cutter. For me, my experience in sponsoring people, I don't know if you guys, the older guys, remember an old show called Lost in Space. I was kind of lost in space and lost in reality. But in that show, every time something happened to the young kid or was going to happen, this robot would go around and say, danger, Will, danger, Will. And something terrible was coming down the pipe. Well, on 98, they're giving you a little bit of danger, Will, here. Because what happened when I started with these new guys was I put my work on a service plane. And I would give them this, give them that, show them this, show them that. They would call me up asking me for this and that. And it really didn't help them. And I never went through the process with them. So that was one of the things that I experienced as part of being a sponsor, that I have to know when to say when and stick with the book here, because the book gives you excellent, excellent stuff. The next thing it talks to you about is, and this is one of the most difficult things when I have to deal with the sponsee, is, and it's shared on 98, is burn the idea. Now when I say burn, I grew up close to a farm, and they mock their cattle with they'd actually burn a letter into a calf, so that's what I mean, burning the idea of the consciousness into every man, that he can get well regardless of anyone. The only condition is trust God and clean house. A lot of guys that I have are very, very what they call codependent. They're depending on either their parents, their friends, their wives, their girlfriends. They're very, 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 very dependent. And the turning point for me was when my sponsor said to me, after he was tired of listening to me complain about my wife, he said, you know what? Because I was separated at the time. He says, you know what? She may never come back. I was so mad at my sponsor, and I purposely didn't call him for a week because that really hit home. It really hurt. But you know what? He was right, and he was trying to get the point across to me that you can't be dependent on anything. And to try to get that to the instilled in these guys, it's a really hard thing. That's one of the toughest things. I do a lot of sharing with my sponsees. It's just the way it is. I'm able to, my family allows me to handle anywhere from 5 to 6 at a time. And so I'm able to help them out. Now, you guys that are doing this process that haven't done it, or the guys that have done it, unfortunately, I can't say to you guys, hey, you know what? You're going to go away for 4 months and you're going to just do this and nothing else but this. No, I had to do it while I was in the middle of life. And the middle of life was tough. Loss of jobs, not enough money, everybody mad at you, kids going crazy, my kids acting out, acting up. So we're like in the frying pan when we're trying to do this stuff. But what I help with the guys is I share how I got over my domestic problems. Now, as an alcoholic, I checked out. I basically checked out. Now, what does that mean? That means that when the kids were acting up or anything like that, I always tell the wife, you handle it, you handle it. I don't want to be bothered. I'm busy. I can't do this or whatever. Well, unfortunately, an unnatural occurrence happened within my family, which was all of a sudden the wife had to be the dad. That's like asking a hand to be a foot. Wives aren't dads. Dads aren't wives. So that caused a dysfunctional upheaval in my family. And this is some of the things that I talk about guys with. When I came back after I did this process and started to sort things out or whatever, the hardest thing was I had to tell the wife was to back off. Back off the kids. The kids were in the ages between 15 and 18. And they were kind of raising hell emotionally. And so I, along with some help, we talked about this. I had to tell my wife that the kids, boy and girl, that I had, they got everything they want out of you after, up until 12 years old. So the dad had to really take a role. And I had to really come in and take a role and really put down some tough stuff, tough roles. But I did it with a lot of compassion. That was the hardest thing that I had to do as part of my sobriety. And fortunately for me, I share that with my sponsees, and it really helps them out because I'm able to actually talk to some of the wives and explain that, because that's the hardest thing for them. And I'm able to explain it to the sponsees, because the sponsees are doing this process because they want to be good dads. They want to be good role models. They want to be the best that they can be. So that's the book. I'm glad, so glad that the book actually goes into this and they talk about this kind of a vague way, but that's what it is right down the pipe. The other thing that's really hard is the tough love that you give a sponsee. The tough love is that, and I alluded to this earlier, that my sponsor said, your wife may never come back. You know, having to say that in some effect, in certain circumstances, to sponsees is really tough. But you know what? I've heard that pain, mental pain, creates a hunger, you know, for sponsees. I've learned in my experience that pain creates a hunger for their healing. And you know what? I had to learn. I had to let that happen. I had to let them get that hunger of healing, you know, in order to really see what they need to see. So that's another, you know, that's a tough one. The biggest thing I want to talk about, too, is spiritual principles. I can't sponsor anybody if I'm telling them, you know what, pray every day, do this, do that, and do this. Oh, by the way, I can't see you tonight because I got to go to the strip club. Or, you know, I got to go see if I can, you know, get some money out of this guy that I'm trying to win over. So in other words, I can't do this if I don't practice what I preach. I have to pray. I have to be on top. I'm human. I'm going to make mistakes, but I got to correct them. Because the one thing a new sponsee can see is bullcrap. That is one thing that they are gifted at seeing right up front. Is bullcrap. They can see it. They can't see anything else. They can't see reality, the new sponsees, but they can smell it and they can see bullcrap. And they can tell if a sponsor is bullcrapping them. And I only know that from experience early on when I had the sponsor, you know? So I have to be right on the top. I have to be on top. I have to be on the beam all the time. One of the last things that I wanted to end up with here is, you know, it says we can go anywhere. Well, the good part about this is these principles that we're talking about here, you know, they say, what is it? Well, basically, you know, there's a big principle about being a good guy, doing the right thing, having a moral compass. Those are huge principles. Those are great. But what I find what's best for me is I'm able to take little pieces of those principles and then I apply them to each situation. So you don't have to be like, I didn't have to be like hit by a wave and all of a sudden I'm a great guy and great principles. No, I just take those little pieces and I apply it to each situation. You know, whether one of the family or the kids are having a hard time, you know, being able to, you know, sweep away the emotion and just see things clearly. It's pretty cool. I'm really, really excited about doing this, this process, because it's like I've been given a second life. And so, you know, what's a second life? Well, think about it as like I was in a coma for 20 years and I wake up and I'm a whole new person. That's kind of what this process is. But that second life, the thing of it is what I've been given is a thing that I've never had before. I've always told people that I had it, and I'd brag about it, but I never really felt it. And that's basically unconditional love. You know, like if a bad guy comes into your home and ties everybody up, and he's going to steal all your stuff, but before he walks out that door, he says, you know, I got to kill somebody here. And that unconditional love is, you know, the dad is going to step right in and say, okay, kill me. You know, that is kind of extreme, but that's the kind of attitude and that's the kind of principle that I have when I work with new guys, is that I got to be there. I got to show up and I got to do the right thing, not for my sake, but for theirs. And that's the second life that I'm talking about. And that's what this process has done for me. I'm in awe. Sometimes I can't take it all in, you know, because it's unbelievable. You know, I just can't take it in. It's just like an awe. But other times, you know, I push, and it works. So thanks for letting me speak tonight.
Thanks, Steve.
That's my story.